Every once in a while, our colleague, esteemed science correspondent Robert Krowich, pops in here on the BPP, but it's usually because something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. We call it an emergency Krowich. Then we play a report by Robert to avoid impending dead air. But today, we actually planned an appearance by Robert and his trusty sidekick, Jad Abumrad. Together, they produce Radiolab out of WNYC here in New York. And we can't properly introduce this story without a little bit of magical Radiolab music. Sort of a soundscape that crazy genius Jad Abumrad comes up with. Engineers build bridges, buildings, roads, structures that shelter us and help move us around. But now there's a new class of engineer, people who build living things. They call themselves bioengineers. They work with organic chemicals to make changes in living things, to create new kinds of life. And though this is still a distant goal, one day they may build life from scratch, from non-life. Here's NPR's Robert Krowich.
I've been looking at the promises of this new field, bioengineering, and nobody waxes more eloquent or dreams more broadly about this than Freeman Dyson.
Who is, by the way, a physicist at Princeton and famous for his work in quantum mechanics.
So let me just play you what he said at a graduation speech he gave recently at the University of Michigan.
There will be do-it-yourself kits for gardeners who will use genetic engineering to breed new varieties of roses and orchids. Kits for lovers of pigeons and parrots and lizards and snakes to breed new varieties of pets. Genetic engineering, once it gets into the hands of housewives and children, will give us an explosion of diversity of new living creatures.
That's quite a vision. So, Robert, let me ask, how far off do you think this sci-fi future
really is? Far, far. It's not far off. It is here. It is now. There are kids today who are already up to their chins in bioengineering.
Really?
How old were you when you did this?
I guess I was 20. I'm 21 right now.
Okay. Who are you? What's your name and what do you do?
I'm Stephen Payne. I'm a senior in biological engineering at MIT.
Now, here's the thing about Stephen. He, like most kids who are in the sciences in college, had to spend hours and hours and hours in the lab waiting for E. coli to slowly grow in a Petri dish.
E. coli, like the stuff that gives you food poisoning?
Well, yeah. It's the stuff. It's common bacteria, and it lives naturally in your gut, and it's, by the way, a big laboratory favorite. And the problem is, says Reshma Sethi, who's a grad student at MIT, is E. coli in the raw?
Actually smell really bad.
What does it smell like?
It actually kind of smells, I guess, maybe like poo. I don't know. What do you think it smells like?
Feces.
Anyway, Stephen and his friends got it into their heads that they could make
E. coli that smell,
you know, nicer.
Yep, nicer smelling.
Like cinnamon or cherry.
Or like minty fresh.
We ended up deciding on wintergreen.
Wintergreen?
Oh, you got something against wintergreen?
I mean, no.
In the real world, who has wintergreen?
It's the petunia plant.
Petunias have wintergreen? I have no idea.
Yeah. A lot of folks study why plants make nice smells. So why do roses smell nice? Why do petunias smell nice? So what we did was we requested from one of these folks, Natalia Dudareva from Purdue University, we asked her to send us a sample of one of the genes she had studied that produces this wintergreen smell.
She mailed it.
Through the mail.
They opened it up.
We took it.
Took it out.
What were you taking out? A little bit of gunk?
It's actually living cells, living dried cells.
Yeah, we pulled out the DNA, put it into a new cell.
And once the new DNA had done its thing, Stephen called everybody into the lab.
And we all came over and we're like, whoa, these, you know, this E. coli culture actually does smell like mint.
And we were like, yay.
That's crazy.
Yay.
So instead of smelling poo all day, they get to smell wintergreen.
Well, actually, there was more than that, because after their wintergreen success, Stephen and Reshman decided, you know, why should we stay in the lab all day, even though it smells nicer now? Because we have to sit there and watch these E. coli grow and grow and grow till they're ready to be experimented on. We could be outside playing Frisbee. So they decided to put a little trigger inside the E. coli. So when it's done growing, it switches from wintergreen to Banana.
Yeah, the banana.
So banana.
You know, it smells like a banana milkshake. I mean, it smells more like a banana than a banana does.
So wintergreen means it's still growing, and banana means we're done.
Yep.
Guys, that's really kind of awe-inspiring.
Absolutely. Like in a grabbing evolution by the scruff of the neck,
well,
kind of way.
But one does wonder, since we are here talking about constructing life, whether we really ought to be doing this thing with quite such abandon. Were you at all intrigued by the idea that, as far as I know, and maybe as far as you know, maybe as far as anybody know, in the history of the E. coli creature, there has never been an E. coli that smelled like wintergreen?
Yep.
you made it yourself?
Well, with the help of my team members, yes.
Did you feel a little spooked by the fact that you just created a life form new to creation?
I mean, at least we're doing something that's, you know, smells pleasant.
But you didn't feel like Dr. Frankenstein or God or...
Not at all.
So what does it feel like to make something that's never existed before?
Just feels like basic engineering.
Yeah, we're engineers. I would say we're engineers. We're building stuff. Building stuff. Building stuff.
Building stuff. Stuff, stuff, and not just stuff. Stuff, stuff, but living stuff.
The road ahead is bright and clear because we're bioengineers.
I'd rather be swapping genes.
It's mankind's only fighting chance. Designer genes, not denim pants. We'll stop disease and greenhouse gases. Sequencing nucleic acids. Crack the code, we've seen the light.
We're building stuff, we're building life. The road ahead is bright and clear, because we're bioengineers.
We're building stuff.
And that was Robert Krolwich and Jad Abumrad of Radiolab, produced by WNYC in New York and distributed by NPR. You can find a link to that story and to Radiolab at our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.